How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
You're listening to Day 10 of Preparation for Resurrection. Today's title is No Comparison. John Phillips said, "Paul sees in Adam the representative of ruined humanity and contrasts him with Jesus, the last Adam, the representative of redeemed humanity. In Adam, all men are sinners. In Christ, they are saints. In Adam's family, death reigns. In Christ's family, deliverance reigns. In the case of Adam, God places the emphasis on his offense. In the case of Jesus, God places the emphasis on his obedience. In Christ, God has dealt with sin and has devised a means of taking the believer out of Adam's family and of placing him into the family of God." Our text today is Romans 5, 12 through 19. It reads, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through the man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of the grace that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." Paul's words about God's gift of grace found in Jesus Christ seem to be compared to sin that reigned in death through Adam. But make no mistake, this is not a comparison, but a great contrast between what sin can do through one man and what grace can do through Jesus Christ. N.T. Wright provides insight into Romans 5, 12 through 19. He begins in verse 12 as though he is going to outline a balanced picture. As by one man sin entered the world, so by one man God dealt with sin. But he stops halfway, where you can see the line at the end of the verse. He has realized that there are two different things that need to be said first before he can set out this direct balance. The second is the theme of verses 15, 16, and 17, which we have already glanced at. Verses 13 and 14 explain a puzzle that might otherwise get in the way. A long time passed between Adam and Moses. Adam was given a direct command and broke it. God gave Israel a set of direct commands through Moses, and they broke him. But in between the two, in this broad brush account of early history, human beings went on sinning and dying, even though there was no law to keep track of what they did. The place and the role of the law of Moses within the overall rule of sin is very important to Paul, so it is vital for him that he clear up any potential misunderstandings in this area at the outset. Verses 15, 16, and 17 insist that making things right is a far, far greater thing than simply a reversal of Adam's sin and its results. The trespass and the gift are not equal and opposite. Death is purely negative. God's gift of life cannot simply be compared with it, as though death and new life were simply equal and opposite. The negative verdict, the condemnation which followed the original trespass, was the direct result of what had been done. But God took the initiative in a situation where there was nothing but sin to be seen, coming to the place where humankind was in ruins in order to make of his human creatures something far better than they had been in the first place. Verse 17 takes this contrast and scale to an even greater length. The result of sin was the reign of death, the ultimate in corruption and dissolution, rules at present over the whole world and everything in it. But whereas we might have expected the other half of the contrasting pair to be the reign of life, Paul goes one step further. What we now await is the reign of those who receive God's gift of covenant membership, of the status of being made righteous. Notice how often the word gift occurs in verses 15 through 17. 5 times in 3 verses. In these verses, Paul is making sure you have grasped the incredible depth of God's generosity. Wright concludes his description by noting, God has done it. God will do it. That sums up the story of the letter so far. Like a good storyteller, he has left us to imagine for ourselves the one who could plan something like this and bring it off, the one whose hidden name is Grace. Here's some questions to think about. What is the nature of Adam's sin and its consequences? How does God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ contrast with Adam's sin? What is the significance of the phrases "not like" and "much more have" in verse 15? But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Thanks for joining us again. Have a great day.